Now here's where I want to focus in on, verse 44. And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. So here's what's happening is Jesus, as he appears to the disciples, is saying, hey, these things were written about in the scriptures, in the law, which are the books of Moses, in the prophets, all the prophetical books that are in the Old Testament, and in the Psalms. And so here Jesus Christ was confirming that the writings that the Jewish people had put together, those were scripture. Those were what should be known as scripture. And so what we're going to do is we're going to have an introduction today on this book of Psalms. We're going to take a few weeks on this series. We'll introduce the book today. There's going to be a lot of facts and information. And hopefully, I want to put the book of Psalms in perspective for you so that you can see how we can learn from it. So we'll then, over the next few weeks, we'll read some of the Psalms, we'll review them together, and we'll study them, and Lord willing, we will learn from them and apply them. So as we begin our study, the question comes up, why? Why should we study the Psalms? Well, the Bible tells us that all scripture, everything that we find in the Bible, is given by inspiration of God. And it's profitable for us. So what it's saying is that the scriptures that we have in front of us, this Bible, these books that have been preserved for us, those are they're profitable. That means they're useful for us, for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Now, we know that whatever's in between these pages is important for us to learn. Now, a few years ago, to be honest, I remember talking to my wife and telling her that sometimes when I would read the Psalms, it would feel I felt very removed from them. I felt it was very distant from me. And so after that, I had an opportunity to teach on them, and so I decided that I would take some time and work on some of the Psalms. And understand that the more we look at it and the more that we study the Psalms, the more that we will appreciate it. And so we looked at this passage here in Luke because we see that Jesus is confirming that Psalms is a part of the Scriptures. It's the part of the Holy Bible. And these Psalms are considered. Now, a few months ago, maybe it was last year, we learned about the groupings of the Bible. Of how some of the books are in one group and in another group. And so this grouping, the Psalms, does anyone remember what grouping they are a part of? The Psalms are a part of. What grouping? What major grouping? You guys will know when I tell you. It's the writings, or the books of poetry, sometimes they're called. And the books of poetry contain 5 books. Does anyone know what 5 books those are? What is it? Go ahead, Miss Rebecca. Proverbs is one of them. Psalms, Proverbs. What else, Brother Frank? Song of Solomon, correct. Armando, did you have some? Job, that's correct. And Ecclesiastes. So Job, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and Song of Solomon are the books of poetry that we find. Now, the book of Psalms, I would call it a heavenly hymn book, all right? The Jewish name for this was called Tehillim, which means praise songs. Now, the book of Psalms, I took this from one gentleman that I was reading after. He said, it's a devotional book. The book of Psalms is a prayer book. The book of Psalms is a song book. The book of Psalms is a praise book. And it's also a poetry book. So what we're going to do is, even to this day, understand that if you were to go, I've actually talked to, I interviewed a rabbi one time. I went to his synagogue and I talked to him about some things. And To this day, if you go to a synagogue, they have what is called a prayer book. And if you go into their synagogue, it's similar. It would be similar that they have a books underneath their chairs, and they have a book that is similar to what our hymn book would be. We have a hymn book that we sing songs and that we know the songs that we sing, but it's comparable to our hymn book. Now, a collection of psalms is gathered and it's put together in something that they call a psalter. And the psalter always had a part in the worship that happened at the temple. So as we look at this, I'm going to look at a few things. Like I said, it's going to be a lot of facts for you today, but hopefully we'll kind of bring it together and help us to understand what it is that we're discussing. So as we look at the introduction of our Psalms studies, I want us to first look at the authority of the Psalms. The authority of the Psalms. When we stop, and I want you to think about this book and how it's put together, because when we look at it, there are some books in the Bible that were written by one man. And it's a few chapters, and he wrote down a record or an account. And there's some people that wrote multiple books. We know that Moses wrote 5 books in Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. But the interesting thing about Psalms is that Psalms covers a period of time of almost 1,000 years. The oldest psalm is written by Moses, which is Psalm 90. And that happened probably about 14. There's many people that think that he wrote that psalm during the wandering in the desert, in the wilderness. So that would be somewhere between 1406 and 1446 B.C., Now, then you have the newest psalm, the latest one, the one that has been written. And the answer to this is we really don't know. But one of these psalms, the Bible tells us, is if you look at Psalm 137, Psalm 137 talks about being in Babylon. And so that happened during the captivity of the Jews in the nation of Babylon. Now, the captivity ended about 536 B.C., and so there's some people that believe that there were some psalms that were written after the captivity. So these psalms were put together over the course of 900 years. Like I already mentioned, Jesus confirms many places in Luke 24, but also in Matthew 21. He says that the psalms are considered scripture. The apostles taught that the psalms were scripture, and we see that in the book of Acts. Now, some of the writers, as we look in the Bible, it talks to them about the writers of the Psalms as prophets. They were acknowledged and confirmed as people who were prophets. So understand that the authority, this is very much a piece of scripture that is important for us to review. It's not something that's questionable. This is absolutely, positively something that is preserved, given by God to us. Now, out of 219 Old Testament quotations in the New Testament, so let me explain that. When we read the New Testament, everything between Matthew and Revelations, there's many times that there are Old Testament passages that are referenced. There's a quotation. It talks about a verse that we find in the Old Testament. That happens about 219 times. Now, 116 of those happen from the book of Psalms. The New Testament refers or quotes the book of Psalms 116 times. It is the most quoted Old Testament book. So understanding it's very important. And again, sometimes we realize, or we don't realize, how important this book is. Now, then we go a little bit further. It's important for us to consider, what is the most quoted book by Christ himself? What did Christ quote the most times? Number 4, he quoted Exodus. He quoted it 7 times. Number 3, Isaiah, he quoted 8 times. Deuteronomy, he quoted 10 times. And the book that Jesus Christ quoted the most was the book of Psalms. And he quoted it 11 times. So it's amazing, this book is so important. And as we look at it, we're going to understand little bits and pieces of it. And at the end, we're going to talk about why it's important. All right? So we've looked at the authority. Now we want to look at the authors. The authors of the psalm. So who is the most popular author of the psalms that wrote psalms? David. All right. David wrote 73 psalms that we know of. That a lot of times the psalms will have a little inscription that says a psalm of David. And when it has that, that happens 73 times. There's others that we think maybe he wrote as well, but the ones that are actually confirmed that they were by David was 73 of them. And David had an interesting name in 2 Samuel 23. He's called the book of 2 Samuel is closing. It's kind of coming to an end of the time of David's reign, and he's about to pass off the scene. And then in the entire chapter of 23 is dedicated to the last words of David. So in this chapter, it actually says this. I'll read it for you in 2 Samuel 23:1. Now these be the last words of David. David, the son of Jesse, said, and the man who was raised up on high, the anointed of the God of Jacob and the sweet psalmist of Israel. So here we have his nickname, the sweet psalmist of Israel, which was David. There were others who wrote some. There were some that were attributed to a group of people that were known either as relatives or descendants of Korah. Korah, and about 11 of those psalms are attributed to Korah. We'll find out a little bit more. I think that's very neat when you look at who Korah was and some of the things that the sons of Korah wrote in the book of Psalms. It's very interesting to think about. Also, there was another one, Asaph. Who was Asaph? Well, let's turn over to the book of 1 Chronicles there towards the beginning of our Bible in 1 Chronicles. In 1 Chronicles chapter number 16, verse number 7, the Bible says this, 1 Chronicles 16, 7. Then on that day, David delivered first this psalm to thank the Lord into the hand of Asaph and his brethren. So David delivered a psalm to Asaph. Asaph was the man who was appointed the chief singer, and he was appointed by King David. So we have another one, but Asaph comes up somewhere else. Turn back one page to 1 Chronicles chapter 15 and verse 9, and we have Asaph mentioned again, but we have two more people who are said to have written some of the Psalms. In 1 Chronicles 15, 9, the Bible says, of the sons of Hebron, 15, 19. So the singers, Heman, Asaph, and Ethan, were appointed to sound with cymbals of brass. So we have two more people here. We have Asaph, once again, who was the chief singer. Then we have Heman and Ethan, who were also people who wrote psalms. We also have Solomon. We already mentioned Moses. We have Hezekiah as well. King Hezekiah is said to have written some psalms. And there's also some that are anonymous, that it doesn't say who wrote them. We can speculate, but the Bible doesn't have an inscription that says this person wrote this psalm. So we've looked at the authority, we've looked at the authors, and now I want us to look at the arrangement. How are they organized? All right, as we look at the book of Psalms, I want us to realize that they're separated into five books. And so we'll look at this. So let's go to the book of Psalms, and right at the beginning there, and I don't know if your Does your Bible at the beginning there say what book number it is? Does anyone's Bible say that? There's some of them that separate it out. So there's some that say, but it should say like book one. Yeah, does it say book one? Does yours say, Brother Aaron? Okay, so it says book one. So book one contains 41 psalms. So from psalm number one to psalm number 41 is the first book. Secondly is book two, which is psalm 42 through 72. That contains 31 psalms. Book number three is 73 through 89, and that contains 17 psalms. Book number four is from 90 to 106, and it contains 17 psalms as well. And then book number five contains 44 from 107 to 150. So here's what, they're not really in any chronological order, but someone did put them together in this order for a purpose. We find Psalm 90, which is the Psalm of Moses. We find that in book four. And you have all these, they're spread out differently through the five books, the five categories of books that we have in the book of Psalms. Now, there's some that actually say that these books kind of are similar to the books of the law. So Genesis relates to the first book, and the key idea about the book one is humanity, man, all right? And then there's book two, which is Exodus, would relate to book Exodus, and the idea is that the Psalms 42 through 72 have an idea of deliverance. The next book would relate to Leviticus, which has a key idea of the sanctuary, and book four would be related to the book of Numbers and has an idea of wandering or unrest, and book five has an idea or a relation to the book of Deuteronomy, and the key idea in book five is the word of God. It's Psalm 107 through 150 have an emphasis on the word of God. So those are the ideas, and it's not concrete, it's not absolute, but that's kind of how some people have related these psalms. Now, what's interesting also is that at the end of each book, there's what's I would call like a little closing statement, like a little closing part in each book. So we'll turn to those. So let's go to Psalm 41, and we're going to see a very important theme that we find in the book of Psalms, the entire book, a very important theme. And Psalm 41, and at the very last verse, verse 13, the Bible said this. You'll see the pattern as we go through it. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel from everlasting and to everlasting. Amen and amen. All right, turn over then to Psalm 72. Psalm 72. And then we'll look at 18 and 19. Blessed be the Lord God, the God of Israel, who only doeth wondrous things, and blessed be his glorious name forever, and let his whole earth be filled with his glory. Amen and amen. And then let's look at Psalm 89. We'll turn over a couple pages to Psalm 89. And verse number 52, and this is the closing of this book, and it says, blessed be the Lord forevermore, amen and amen. Turn over a couple pages to Psalm 106. Psalm 106, verses 48. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel from everlasting to everlasting, and let all the people say amen. Praise ye the Lord. And finally, we'll turn to the very last psalm, Psalm 150. And then we see here kind of the pattern changes a little bit, but the theme is the same. All right, the last and the entire last psalm is like a grand finale to the book of Psalms. And each verse begins and talks about praise. Let's look at it. Psalm 150, praise ye the Lord, praise God in his sanctuary, praise him in the firmament of his power, praise him for his mighty acts, praise him according to his excellent greatness, praise him with the sound of the trumpet, praise him with the psaltery and harp, praise him with the timbrel and dance, praise him with stringed instruments and organs, praise him upon the loud cymbals, praise him upon the high-sounding cymbals. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord, praise ye the Lord. So the idea all throughout the book of Psalms, a very key, a very important, something that hopefully we take away with tonight, is the most important theme is about praising the Lord. Central. When we think, even just kind of mentally, when we think of the book of Psalms, if you were to tell me what's right around the middle of the Bible, I would say the book of Psalms. And the idea is to me that at the center of our Christian life, at the center should be praise. At the very center of it should be praise. Praise ye the Lord. And all these ideas all throughout the scriptures of the book of Psalms, we see praise, 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 praise. How important it is for us to praise the Lord. So as we look at this arrangement of the book of Psalms, there was a, I will call him a compiler, somebody who put together the Psalms. Many people, we don't know, but many believe it was the scribe who was Ezra. Ezra. This was put together after the return from the Babylonian captivity. So what happened is that the Jews were taken captive and they were taken to Babylon and they were there and they were punished there for 70 years. And after that, they returned all the way to Jerusalem. And we know that that happened in Ezra, Nehemiah, that those books where they came back and they came back to the land and they established once again the temple. They established the temple for the second time. And at that point is when they believe that this all these psalms were put together. They were compiled together. So another important thing to understand about the Psalms is that it's a book of poetry. Now, when we think of poetry, when you and I would think about poetry in our language, we think about it as it would rhyme, and that things that would rhyme, or that there's a certain rhythm or meter to our words. But poetry in the Bible, or in Hebrew, I should say, poetry in Hebrew is a little bit different. It doesn't have rhyming words, but it has what's called parallel ideas. So it puts together ideas, and you see that. It's like it has one sentence, and then the next sentence kind of builds on that. And you see that over and over again in the book of Psalms. Another idea that's important in how it's put together is that the Psalms are naturally divided. Now, most books in the Bible, Genesis, Exodus, Job, Isaiah, even the New Testament, they're all except for the books of poetry, they're all together like one book. If you were to bring, that's why when you look at like the book of Isaiah was on one scroll. It was put together and there wasn't like chapters. It wasn't broken down in chapters or it wasn't broken down in verses. That's not how it was originally. But the book of Psalms is different because a psalm was preserved as that paragraph. They stand by themselves. And so that's going to be very important for us because we get to learn from them that way. So instead of like when you're reading some of the books, it's much easier to understand if you read the whole thing from beginning to end. Like if you were to read like the book of James, if you start at James 1:1 and you end all the way at the end of James, it's a lot easier to understand because you kind of get a full picture of what's going on. But Psalms, each of the Psalms stands by itself. So we're going to be able to take some time and look at a psalm and just kind of digest and work on that one psalm. And so it's naturally divided. So that'll give us some help in that. But also, the book of Psalms is broken into different topics. So we have different types of topics. We have devotional psalms. We also have penitential psalms, which are confessions, all right? We also have imprecatory psalms. Does anyone know what an imprecatory psalm is? These are the interesting ones. The imprecatory psalms are the psalms that we see that they're a prayer for judgment and on our enemies. And we see a few of those, and it's a little bit difficult to really kind of digest, but there are those psalms, and those psalms are preserved for us, and so we'll need to learn from them. There's also some that are called psalms of degrees. You will see those. You'll see that as a heading towards, I believe it's here's one of them. Psalm 125 is one of them. And right around there's a grouping of, I think, about 13 psalms that are, or 15 psalms that are songs of degrees. You also have hallelujah psalms, which are about praising the Lord. You also have historical psalms. If you've read through the book of Psalms, sometimes you see that there's like a history of what was going on, especially with Israel and whether they were in captivity, or it really talks a lot of times about their time in as they were being taken out of the land of Egypt. And so that was very important. But also there's a very important theme and a very important topic. There are many, many psalms that are what we call messianic psalms. And they point very closely, and they their prophecy for when Jesus Christ later fulfills. It's pretty amazing, and the one that comes to mind, obviously very very quickly, is Psalm 22. Psalm 22 is many times called the crucifixion psalm. It relates so much of what Jesus said on the cross and what happened on the cross, and he talks about. I think the first verse is, my God, why have you forsaken me? That comes from the book of Psalms. And it was something that Jesus Christ said, but there's many what are called messianic psalms, psalms that are about the Messiah. So now we're going to look at the attributes of psalms, the characteristics. What is it that we see in the book of Psalms? Now, I remember having a conversation with my wife one time about saying, we were talking about doctrine and things like that, and I said, doctrine is so important, and so many times people are not guided in their life by doctrine, but they're guided by their emotions. And I said, I don't know if there's, I remember saying, you know, like, I don't know how, you know, emotional the scripture really is. And she kind of stopped and she looked at me and she's like, what about the book of Psalms? And that's true. When you look at the book of Psalms, the Psalms gives us so much about many things. It gives us a deep understanding about who God is. It tells us a good understanding about how God interacts with mankind. And also, it digs into the depths of man's soul to understand his emotions, to understand what he's going through, to discuss openly the problems and the trials and the hurt that's going on in his life. And we see these things all in the book of Psalms. It's a very, very emotional book. There's also so much in Psalms, as I mentioned already, about prophecy. There's also a lot in Psalms that's musical, all right? One of the characteristics of Psalms is that it's very much in music or about music. So as we look at this, there are many what are musical references that we see in the scripture. So let's talk about them. The most common one that we see in the book of Psalms is this term, and many times it's found at the end of a psalm. It says Selah, all right? And we see that over and over again. What is Selah? Selah is we see it 71 times, and basically what it means is that you're supposed to pause. And many times it was a pause in the singing, in the vocal singing, while there was an instrument playing. And so it's something that many times that they use, and we say, okay, he puts Selah in order to take a moment and pause in Scripture and to consider, to think about, to understand, to meditate on what God is saying. There's a lot of other, I'll show you a couple of them because I can't really pronounce them. So let's look at, are you guys in Psalm 127 right now? Let's go to Psalm 142. And at the very beginning of the inscriptions, a lot of these are found in the inscriptions. Right after, at least in my Bible, it says Psalm 142, and there's kind of a small script there that gives instruction or inscriptions about what it is. And Psalm 142 says this, it says, Maskil of David. Maskil is just a Hebrew term, but it's a musical term. And so we have many of those. We have, let's look at another one. Let's look at Psalm 46. I have them all over. I have pretty much a list of them. Psalm 46. And if you're there in the inscription, it says, to the chief musician for the sons of Korah, a song upon Alamoth. A song upon Alamoth. Alamoth is another one of those terms. And some people, a lot of these terms, they're not sure exactly what they mean. But a lot, what some of them, they believe is it was a musical instruction to be sung by the female voices. So possibly a very, like the sopranos. So that's, many people believe that that was like a singing instruction. If you turn to, or if you go over to, what was the other one I saw, I think? 45. If you turn back to Psalm 45, to the chief musician upon Shoshanim for the sons of Korah, Maskil, a song of loves. So Shoshanim is another one that we see, and Shoshanim is, they say it possibly is a instruction for the type of instrument to be used for that psalm. So maybe it was, this one particularly was possibly a six-stringed instrument. So it's just different instructions, different musical ideas. Many times if you look at music, it'll say, all right, sing this joyfully or sing this reverently or sing this slowly. And it has all those instructions in the music. And we see that many times to understand the music. So some of them we find in, you said 145, David's Psalm of Praise, and 148. Yeah, some of them don't have any annotation at all. He wrote some psalms, that's correct. And he also wrote the book of Proverbs, as we know, and Song of Solomon and Ecclesiastes. But he is attributed to have some of written some of the psalms. So as we look at this, why is it important for us to understand these things? Because to understand the Psalms, we need to remember that it was written to people that were under the law. And so we need to realize that as we take a step back, we can understand and we can learn a lot from the book of Psalms. But there's also some things that we might not be able to fit exactly into how it is in the New Testament, because we're a New Testament church. We're in the church age. We are in the New Testament. We are part of that last testament until Jesus returns. So we're a New Testament church. And so some of the things that we understand and that we know, the Israelites did not know as they were looking, as they were talking about these things, as they were learning about these things, as they were putting these things together. They didn't understand all these things, but we have a full picture because we have the completed Word of God that we're able to understand and that we're able to read and we're able to learn from. So all these things, it's a lot of history, a lot of facts, a lot of information. So I want to get down just to a couple things about the application. Let's look at the application of the book of Psalms. So here's the thing. The book of Psalms was given to us to really give us an important idea of praising God. that's central to the life of God's people. In this time, God's people are the Israelites, but today, God's people are Christians, people that have trusted in Jesus as their Savior. That's who God's people are. And so God's people need to be praising God. How important it is for us to praise God. Praise is so important. Praise is vital. And we see throughout all the, especially over and over again. Now, I want you to consider this. Consider the different situations. Brother Frank just mentioned one of them. David was in a cave. David was in a cave on the run. He was hiding because he felt that Saul was going to kill him. And so he went and he hid in a cave. And it was at that time that he wrote some psalms. And some of those psalms were praising God. There was a time where there was people that were in captivity. They were in bondage. They were enslaved by people who conquered them. And it was at that time that the Israelites were able to write down psalms of praise. There was this man, Moses, and they say that Moses wrote his psalm when he was on his way or when he was in the wilderness. They were about to go into the promised land, but they decided that the people listened to the spies that said it was no good, that there was giants, that they didn't want to go in and conquer. And so God said, you're going to wander in the wilderness for 40 years. And in that situation, Moses said he had the ability to praise God. And so when we look at this, we see how important it is for us to praise God. What we also see is that it's important for another importance is we see praise is important, but prayer is important. The majority of the Psalms are prayers. And I want to challenge you in that. Take some time as we read through and as you get to read through Psalms, read some of them and read them as a prayer and say, this is how this person was praying to God. This is what he was asking God. What is some of the verses that we read even tonight? It said, bless the Lord. So many times we say, God, bless this person. Bless this person. Bless the pastor. Bless the missionary. Bless my family. Bless me. But the Psalms teach us that we're to bless the Lord. How is that done? That's something that we need to become better at and learn how to do, is how to bless the Lord. We need to praise the Lord, but as we learn through the scriptures how to pray, learn how to pray, read them and say, wow, this was the prayer life of somebody that they wrote down. How you can learn how to pray and how to talk to God through reading through some of these Psalms, and it's really amazing. It'll teach us how we can truly pray and how we can seek God as we pray to Him. But also, we see that praise is important, prayer is important, and corporate worship is important. This entire book of Psalms was put together for the purpose of worshiping in the temple. Many of these were songs. Many of these, like I said, were prayers that they would say. Some say that there was a rotation of psalms that they would say at the temple when they would gather. So they would go to the temple, all God's people would get together and go to the temple, and they would be worshiping, and we know that they had singers, and they had musicians, and they had all these things going on, and they would get together, and they would do what? They would praise God. And they would go over these psalms, and they would recite them, and they would talk about them, they would learn from them, but it was something that a man of God, who we believe is Ezra, put together these psalms, and said, this is going to be our hymn book. This is going to be the hymn book that we put together that we worship from. And so they did that. And this is, again, it's preserved. It's our heavenly hymn book. But it was something that was important for the people of Israel to do together. And so, yes, praise is important. God's people should be praising Him. Amen. Prayer is important. God's people should be praying. And they should learn to pray. And they should learn how to pray fervently. But also God's people need to know how to worship corporately. And what that means, again, at this time, they were in the temple, But today, the importance is to worship corporately together as a body in the church. How important it is for us. There's just a certain way that, you know, I can sing at home, and I can worship the Lord at home, but there's something that's so helpful about being with other of God's people to encourage us and help us that are going through this life at the same time, that are facing difficulties at the same time, and saying, you know what? If he can praise the Lord in the situation that he's in, I can praise the Lord at the situation that I'm in. And being able to learn from each other and help each other to know how to praise. Amen. So when we get down to the depths of the human condition, what's going on in our life, this book is going to be a help to us. This book tells us about the struggles that God's people had. There's a term in the scriptures, when we talk about discouragement or depression or something like that, we don't find that term in the scriptures. But the term that we find it in the book of Psalms, when I believe it's David, but one of the psalmists wrote down, he said, "My soul is cast down." And it just tells us of the struggle that this psalmist was going through. He felt like his soul was cast down. So as we look at that, it gets into the human experience. So we talked about it being a devotional book. We talked about it being a prayer book. Again, it'll help us to learn how to pray. We talked about it being a song book. Learning from this heavenly hymn book, how music and verse can be used to praise the Lord. See, if you remember, the Bible says that God gives us a new song. And that new song, when he takes us, the Bible says in the book of Psalms, that he took me out of the miry clay, he set my feet on a solid rock, and he gave me a new song. That is talking about the salvation experience. Because as a person who does not have God, we're in clay. We're in a ground that is unstable, that we can't move it, that we don't know where the bottom is, that we don't know what's going to happen. And it's that miry clay. It's dirt. It's gross. It's not something that we want to be in, and we're unstable. But then the Bible says that he sets our feet on a solid rock, on a solid foundation. And the Bible tells us that that foundation is Jesus Christ. And on that foundation, we're solid. It's not unstable. And then the Bible also says that he gives us a new song. And that new song is a wonderful song. It's not like the songs of old. It's a beautiful song where we can praise God, where we can praise God regardless of the situation that we're in. And so it's a book of praise, and it's a book of poetry. It's the greatest book of writings that have ever been put together, because they're inspired and preserved by God for the ages. It's the richest literature that you'll ever read. You know, some people talk about how wonderful Shakespeare is. Some people talk about how wonderful Geoffrey Chaucer is, or all these ancient old writers. But here we have the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, who put together the most beautiful book over time, over the course of almost 1,000 years, for you and for me. So what it comes down to is that this book is all about praising God. When you're facing a challenge in the wilderness, that's when we're supposed to praise God. When you're alone, when you feel like you're alone, when you feel like nobody cares for you, that's when you can praise God. When you're running from your enemies, that's when you can praise God. When you are in captivity, that's when you can praise God. When you need to confess your sin to God, that's when you can praise God. When you feel like no man cares for your soul, that's when you can praise God. And it's going to teach us over and over again. So the questions for us tonight, we're going to close here, but when do I praise? Sometimes I only praise when things are going well, when life is going good, when I don't have any problems, we're getting along, the kids are doing well, and that's when I praise God. But can I praise God in the tough times as well? The question isn't when do I praise, it's when am I supposed to praise? Right. We're supposed to praise always. So as we close tonight, the next thing that we'll do, I'll assign us our homework. Our homework for next week is we're going to go through Psalm 1. So if you take some time this week, and we will read Psalm 1, and we'll learn about it, and we'll glean from it, and hopefully learn some truths from the Word of God. Also, if you think about it, I'm not going to go over some of the popular psalms. Psalm 23 has been done over and over again, but I don't know. I don't think we're going to teach on that one because a lot of people can do a better job than me on that one. But if there's any, perhaps we're going to go over a few. I already have planned out over the next about 4 weeks. But if there's some maybe that come to mind that you'd like to go over, some psalms that you'd like to go over, maybe you can send me a text message or ask me about it, and we'll try to learn it and we'll try to teach through it. All right, so that'll be. So next week we will go over Psalm 1. So if you can this week, get a chance to read it. Well, let's go ahead and close, and we'll close with a word of prayer. Father, we do love you. We thank you for the day. Lord, I do pray that you would just help us, Lord, as we study this time, Lord, this book, Lord, that you put together for us. Lord, how wonderful and how amazing it is. Father, I pray that you would teach us. Lord, teach us to honor you. Lord, how to live for you. But Lord, especially how we can praise you. Father, I pray that you would teach us, Lord, from this book. Over the next few weeks, help us to grow closer to you from it. And we'll thank you for it, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.